I think I'd like to say something first about this. You know, we're in the section on the word in the liturgy, which has a lot to do with priests and preaching. But you see, we can't just improve our preaching. We have to improve ourselves. You see, we just can't get better topics and work harder and make a more coherent presentation. We have to be changed. In other words, the first obligation of a priest, you know, is to preach the word, yes, and to celebrate the sacraments worthily. But that word worthily means that the first thing we have to do is change our life. Every day, every week, every month, give our lives more totally over to the Lord Christ, trust Him, love Him, obey Him, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, have a deep relationship to the Father, and know the Mother of God and rely on her. In other words, there is this whole level of, if we want to improve our preaching, we have to improve our relationship and our union with the Lord. It just won't happen by better thoughts or better techniques or more work. That helps. But if we want to really deliver the word, as we're going to see in these paragraphs that we're looking at from now for the next few days, next few weeks, we're on number 54. The title of this section is The Word of God and the Eucharist. So the Pope goes on. What has been said in general about the relationship between the Word and the sacraments takes on deeper meaning when we turn to the celebration of the Eucharist. The profound unity of Word and Eucharist is grounded in the witness of Scripture. And here he alludes to John 6 and Luke 24, which are both Eucharistic texts, you see. But they are that in terms of the word. You keep my word, you see, and so forth. Okay. Now this is attested to, this unity of word and Eucharist in the witness of Scripture, by the fathers of the Church and reaffirmed by the Second Vatican Council on Sacrosanctum Concilium, and I'm not going to read them all, but he refers to three or four different church documents and council documents. He's going to start talking about discourse on the bread of life in the synagogue at Capernaum, with its underlying comparison between Moses and Jesus, between the one who spoke face to face with God and the one who makes God known. Now, this whole scene is one in which Jesus purposely creates this very scene. It's right near Passover. And Jesus is out in the desert, in a wilderness place, you know. And there's no wilderness over there except grass and sand. There's no tree kind of wilderness. So he's in the desert, and it's Passover, and he's going to feed the people. What's he saying? I'm the new Moses. I'm the one that's been prophesied. And the people get it, the first part. The second part, then they want to make him king so that as Moses led the people out of Egypt, the new Moses can drive the Romans out and give us peace in our own land. And that's the part where they don't get it straight. But after feeding them on manna, that is multiplying these loaves, he goes on to speak about himself as manna and his word as manna. And that's where the Pope is taking us with this, you see. So, this relationship, comparison between Moses and Jesus, between the one who spoke face to face with God and the one who makes God known. He alludes there to the last line in the prologue. God no one has ever seen, but the only begotten Son has made him known. Okay. Jesus' discourse on the bread speaks of the gift of God, which Moses obtained for his people with the manna in the desert, which is really the Torah, the living, life-giving Word of God. This is a very old Jewish tradition. that what Moses, you see, Moses is feeding the people in the desert was only a sign of the feeding he did by receiving the Torah from God and passing it on. And that's the Word of God. So the Word of God is food. And there are many texts in the Old Testament which speak like this. Huh? Wisdom is food. Wisdom is drink. Wisdom is wine. Some places it's water. Wisdom. Well, Jesus is wisdom. Therefore, he's food and drink. Literally. Because he gives us his body and blood. And so, the Pope is going on now to go back to the other point. That is, the Word of God as it relates to this. In his own person, Jesus brings to fulfillment the ancient image. This is the Lord's quote now. The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then another two verses later, I am the bread of life. So I am the bread. Now, that's the relationship between bread and word. I'm both. And this is the Mass. So, as we're going to hear in another week or so, this famous text, I might even just read it for you now, so you can hear it again. It's in number 56, okay? Christ, I'm reading now, Christ, truly present under the species of bread and wine, is, now listen to this, is analogously present in the Word proclaimed in the liturgy. He's making a comparison between the Word in the liturgy proclaimed and the Word made flesh in the sacrament. And he says, Christ, truly present under the species of bread and wine, is analogously present in the Word proclaimed in the liturgy. That's very powerful. It's very patristic, but it's very powerful. So you can see that unless the Word is proclaimed in a way in which Christ is present, the people aren't ready to receive him in the sacrament. They're not ready because they haven't received him here. And that's so necessary. That's why, as you know, the document also says that the priest should preach every day. Well, we'll talk about that sometime. I got a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know if it's available yet. I mean, but like 5 or 6 years worth of daily preaching is or will be accessible. I can't tell you which right now. So that you could just push the button and hear what I was saying one third Sunday in the fifth week or something. And if it helps, use it. Anyway, we're back now into this question, you see? The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven. I am the bread of life. Here, the Torah has become a person. When we encounter Jesus, we feed on the living God himself, so to speak. We truly eat the bread from heaven. I'm the bread from heaven, he tells us. In the discourse at Capernaum, John's prologue is brought to a deeper level. There, God's Logos became flesh. But here, this flesh becomes bread, given for the life of the world, with an allusion to God's self-gift in the mystery of the cross, confirmed by the words about his blood being given as drink. And so, you see, the word of the Eucharist is food. And that's the point. Jesus is the Torah. Jesus is the Word of God. And we feed on it. Oh, how many places in Scripture do we have this notion about the Word of God being food, being a banquet? Famous text, it's Isaiah 35, I think, where on the mountain there will be rich food and so forth. It's a prophecy of the Eucharist. Okay. The mystery of the Eucharist reveals the true manna, the true bread of heaven. It is God's Logos, God's Word, made flesh, who gave himself up for us in the Paschal mystery. So that's one place where we can see how the Word is food. Now he goes on to another example, and we'll get partially into it. Luke's account of the disciples on the way to Emmaus enables us to reflect further on this link between the hearing of the word and the breaking of the bread. Jesus approached the disciples on the day after the Sabbath, listened as they spoke of their dashed hopes, and joining them on their journey, and this is the point, quote, interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The scriptures, of course, at this point, are the only the Old Testament. That's all there is. So he takes this, and then when he gets to the upper room, the room where they are, he does the same thing again. And starting there, he goes through the Moses, the prophets, and the writings. The three classifications. I know I've done this before. I might just do it, and we could pick up here next week. The tradition of the Jews, you see, that there's the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim, the law, the prophets, and the writing. So when you pierce and string pearls, you take a text from the law, and you see how it relates to a text in the prophets are the kings, Samuel, kings, and then all the major prophets and minor prophets, and then the Ketuvim, the writings, all the other stuff, okay? And you string pearls, and as you do that, if you do it well, you return to the fire of Sinai. Well, what's happening here, Jesus is taking them through, as the text says explicitly, taking them through Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, I think. But Ketuvim, the Psalms are part of the writing, okay? And he does that. And then he breaks the bread, and they recognize him. And what do they say? Remember Sinai, fire of Sinai? Were not our hearts burning as he opened the scriptures to us? Jesus is saying, I am the fire of Sinai. I am the source of all revelation. Eat me. Listen to me. It's the same. Take me in. Take me in as wisdom. Take me in as flesh and blood. Take me in as Torah, the living Torah, the living, breathing Torah, which is the eternal Son of God, who I am. And that's this relationship between the Word of God and the Eucharist. And why we need, you see, as this text is going to say a little later on, as I read it already analogously, just as he's present in the bread and wine, he's present in the preached word. That preached word has to be there, not just a lovely, pleasing, whatever, homily. No, it has to be the preached word that then prepares people to receive the infleshed word at the Eucharist. Okay.